So I kind of laughed a little bit ago when I thought we could have put the scripture reading today up on the screen too, and usually I'll do that a lot, and today I happen not to do so. But if you have your Bibles and you'd like to open them, we'll be looking at Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Here's a quote that I came across this week that I think tracks well with the video we just saw. The quality of a father can be seen in the goals, dreams, and aspirations he sets not only for himself, but for his family. And I want to talk to you this morning just simply about this subject, God and men. So if you'll follow along, I'll read out of Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So who is this man called Joshua? Could say a lot of things about him, but I guess the thing I'd want to point out maybe first and foremost, a couple of things. He is the one who succeeded Moses to lead the children of Israel. And I think what really has impacted my life is I've studied his writings and his life over the years. He distinguished himself. Not every man does that. But he distinguished himself as a leader. And the words I would use to describe him as a leader, he was respectable, he was capable, and he was ethical. And in that leadership, he maintained all of those qualities, whether he was leading the nation or he was leading his family. So when we look at these verses, and I'll kind of explain the context as I go along, the first thought I'd like to present to you is just simply this. The Israelites had a fundamental and monumental choice to make. All of our decisions may not rise to that level, but throughout our lives, there are going to be times when the decisions we make, the choices we make, they're going to have far-reaching impact. And when Joshua stood before the leaders of his nation, he was 110 years old. It wasn't going to be long before he died. And so he had led them for years, and now he's trying to encourage them and he's trying to direct them in what to do next after his passing. And so he said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Can I just give us a little practical advice right now? Respect everyone else's right to make their own decisions. Don't get hung up in trying to conform or berate people into what you want them to be. Live and let live. There's a lot of scripture I could attach to that. I have no idea how much those people must have meant to Joshua. And yet he realized, even after pouring his life into theirs, even after leading them in such an impressive and remarkable way, that position of authority and respect that he had earned, he still said, you've got some choices to make. You can worship the gods that your ancestors did in other places. You can adopt the religious beliefs and practices of the people in this new land that you're now living in, or you can pledge your devotion to follow and obey God. I don't know what crossroads you're going to come to when that becomes an issue in your life, but I can assure you, not just once, not just twice, repeatedly in your life, you are going to be faced with choices. You're either going to reaffirm your commitment to God, or you're going to set it aside. You're going to choose something else. The Israelites had a fundamental and monumental choice to make. So let's bring this into us. We have some choices to make. And I would say those choices are equally fundamental and monumental. And I want to pull from some examples out of the life of Joshua to kind of frame this decision making. Here's the first one. Will we choose strength and courage? Joshua for a while was just the assistant to Moses. He also became the leader of the Israeli army. But when that time came and Moses wanted to pass the baton, when that time came and God said, Joshua, you got next. When that time came, listen to what God said to Joshua. This is out of Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. That's in verse 6. In verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And then again in verse 8, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God, is with you wherever you go. Let me just give you a personal connection with that. For every person who puts his or her faith in Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residency within him or her. And the Holy Spirit will remain with you for the rest of your earthly life. And the Bible tells all of God's children, I am with you and I will never forsake you. And so as we go through this life, we are not left just on our own to figure it out or to rise to the occasion. God is with us. And we don't know what we're going to face next, do we? Who would have thought that 3 months would have went by before we would have ever had the opportunity to even meet back in church? We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we have a God who wants to tell us, regardless of what the circumstances are, choose strength and courage. Let me say a few words to the men and to the dads. I think most of us would maybe agree with this. We are living in a culture that is trying to emasculate men. Okay? I don't know if this is one of your favorite TV shows. All I can simply tell you is it has never been one of mine. Yeah. But in 1989, The Simpsons broke on the scene. And my first impression was, nah. And my sons were young men, and they were going to public schools, and they'd come home, Dad, can we watch The Simpsons? Dad, could we watch The Simpsons? And I just said, no. I said, we'll try it once. That was all it took. That was all it took. And on the outside, kind of looking in, maybe you can see some humor and maybe you can see yourself and who knows what. And I don't think I've watched an episode since, 1989? But I'm not going to put any money on the fact that it has changed since then. But when the dad was just this bumbling idiot not the real model I wanted my sons to follow. When the family dynamics were filled with disrespect, not the template that I wanted to set before us on a weekly basis to digest. The mama's boys. Grow up. Grow up. The workaholics who are so wrapped up in themselves, they can't think about anyone or anyone else, and they neglect and leave their families behind. Change your ways. The sleazy guys who still today will be bragging about how many women they can sleep with, how cool their life is, how much partying they can do. The macho man. You know, the one who's always trying to intimidate others. The one who's always using power plays in hopes of getting what he wants. God and men. God wants us to figure out what strength looks like and what courage looks like from God's perspective. This week, as I was preparing this message, I came across an article that's called "The Lost Art of Celebrating Dads." When I think of the way our society really kind of tries to diminish and devalue men, just that heading alone caught my attention. So let me just read a little bit of this. We live in a world where male privilege and toxic masculinity can sometimes silence the best in us. Men are afraid to speak up, unskilled at vulnerability, and sometimes feel like aliens inside themselves because they are constantly told, A, the strong survive, and B, the strong abuse. Since men feel afraid and insecure, these narratives are like anvils heaped on their shoulders, heavy and ever present. I don't know for any of you really, I guess, what is your family unit like? What is that social conscience that has seeped into your mind that is reconditioning you in a way that's not consistent with the Bible? What I do know is that if you want to know what the very best example of a man could ever be, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. This particular article goes on. It says, look, dads are different than moms. And I went, duh. They just are. I'm not talking about traditional gender roles. And I realize the danger of generalities. But there is something different about dads. Boys need them. Girls need them. Scientific research shows that children with active dads are better equipped for life as an adult. Just as moms are capable, so are dads. And being a dad whose children no longer live at home, I've also come to realize it's just as important now for me to be the right kind of dad as it was when they were at home. They may listen less. They may be choosing their own path. But do you know what God has blessed every father with throughout his entire lifetime? He gives us an example that hopefully when they're struggling, when they're trying to find their way, when they're not sure what to do next, they can look back at you and it can become a reference point. And it doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. All of us learn by trial and error. But I can tell you, I have sat down with my own sons, and I've asked them as adults now, in your eyes, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? One of the best things I ever learned early in parenting was just to be willing that when I blew it, when I messed up, when I didn't keep my cool, when I didn't show up when I said I was going to be there, if you can just be honest and own it. That's what courage does. It owns it. That's what strength does. It owns it. Can I tell all of us as dads and as guys? We're like everyone else. It's amazing what we can tell ourselves in our own minds. It's also amazing what everyone else around us is formulating about us that we may or may not ever know. But I can assure us of this. If we are not owning it, then our stock in the lives of whoever it is that is seeing us is just continually going down. Going down. It can be your wife. It can be your children. It can be your neighbors. Can I read a couple of references for you? Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Some of the most troubled people in the world are men. They've never figured out how to own it. They've not been willing yet to grow up. And they're like big crybabies just running around here and there. Not only is society trying to emasculate you, your own missteps that you haven't worked with and worked through are piling on. And I hear Jesus, come to me. Come to me. I hear Paul talking to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I don't know what kind of yardstick you may use in your life to evaluate your living. When I was going through the parenting years of my life, I came up with three. I called them the three R's, and they weren't the ones that I had grown up with. But I just called them the three R's. Reverence, respect, and responsibility. Interestingly enough, it's been only a few months ago, one of my adult sons called me up and said, what were those three again? And interestingly enough, he remembered reverence. He remembered respect. He had forgotten responsibility. And I asked him, was that intentional? What is your code to live by? Paul told Timothy, look at power, look at love, and look at self-discipline. And God is our source for all of those things. Let me give you one other thought. Will we choose to be faithful to God and His Word? I'm not talking about perfection here, okay? I'd be the first one in this room this morning to admit, I am so glad for how far I've come, how much I've grown. But I can't wait to see what's next. And I will be the first to say, I have not arrived. But when it says, will we choose to be faithful to God in His Word? Let's go back to Joshua for a moment. In those same opening verses in chapter 1, where God is talking to Joshua and is cluing him in on things and telling him, I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous. He also said in verse number 7, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So you look at Joshua, literally a brilliant military leader. You look at Joshua. He was this strong and courageous spiritual leader. He juggled both roles, nationally and personally. What was his secret? His submission to God. His devotion to God. Will we choose to be faithful to God in His Word? I'm going to jump ahead for a moment. What I suggest and what I've learned along the way. Guys, I don't know if you're doing this. If you are, keep at it. It's going to take all the strength and courage that God can give you. It's going to take all the love and power and self-discipline that God can supply you. If you haven't started this, I hope that today God will help you just drive a stake in the ground and you will say, I will start this today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's what I want to talk to you about. Develop a personal way for you and your loved ones to spend time with God together. It's just that simple. First thought, keep it simple. Second thought, select the time to gather the family together. I don't know if you did this. I did. And I look back and it's like, that was one of my big mistakes. If I ever threw out the word family meeting, everybody knew something was wrong. Okay, so man, I wish I'd have learned to rename that or to use that label and that time differently. But I realized early on, number one, I didn't know how to do it. My parents didn't do that. But I had become a Christian early enough in my life and beginning to work with teenagers and being a youth director for years, I saw the value in it. And that's what our Sunday school classes and youth groups turned into, family time in the Word. As a pastor wanting to try to lead a church, and I'm in Chickasha, Oklahoma. Small kids, new congregation. God had convicted me in my heart the value of this. And so I started trying to figure things out. How many of you like this little setup I have right here? This is quite a little combo. So the laptop is Stephanie's. Edson's daughter, she loaned it out to me, so those are her stickers, not mine, although I think some of them are pretty cool. This is a bandana that I got from Karen. Can anybody recognize its source? It's got Disney written all over it, right? So before I had got some masks that I could wear, this is what I would wear when I go to the grocery store or I was out. And so one day I just happened to grab a t-shirt out of the closet, and if I'm with Karen, she always likes to buy souvenirs at Disney, and so I'm not into all that, so usually I end up with a bunch of t-shirts. So I have a number of Disney t-shirts. So one day I went into the grocery store, and I hadn't put the two together, but I had a Disney t-shirt on and a Disney mask. And whoever that person was that was talking to me, they had some fun with me on that one. Underneath this is one of two books that I bought when I was in Oklahoma and I was just trying to start. It's called Character Sketches. And it was written by a ministry that was really popular back then. And it came in two volumes. And it takes animals and it goes through their characteristics and then it connects those with the qualities and characteristics that are found in the Bible that God wants us to live by. And that was where I started with my sons. And we had such a party. They'd come and jump up in my lap. I'd open up this book, and one of my sons, we'd start reading, and he'd go, shh. And he'd jump down and just run away. And the other son would become so exasperated. Didn't have three at that point yet. And he'd come back, and he'd have something. We'd start reading again. Shh. You know, so he had to get busted a few times and trained, but that was a whole other story. But that's where I started connecting with my boys. We moved to Austin. Nathan's born. They're getting school age. So our routine for years, thank God I didn't call it a family meeting. But at 7 o'clock, we'd gather on the sofa. We'd open up the daily bread. And as they were getting older, one of them would want to read the daily bread. Another one would take the scripture reading. A lot of times I would still do the prayers. They weren't ready for that. And that's how we started doing this. On almost any given day, especially Monday through Friday, at our house, you'll catch Karen and me sitting on the sofa at about 6:30 in the morning. And we're doing this. Keep it simple, select a time, just open your Bible and read something. Ask everyone what it means, and then pray. And I know how difficult it's been for so many to pray out loud. But you got to start somewhere. Be strong. Be courageous. And you want to be committed. You want to be devoted to God and His Word. Let me close with this story. Many of you know that our church is a highly missionary-focused church. And we got a lot of good things we're going to be telling you about over the next few months about that. But some of you maybe have read or you're old enough to remember, there was a time when missions work was easily done in China, and that's no longer the case. But there was a missionary family that was serving in China when it was really kind of open, but they were there as it was really beginning to kind of close down in the early 50s. The man who had his family there and was doing mission work, they were arrested and put under house arrest. They didn't know what that meant. They didn't know where that was going to go. One day, and they didn't know they were coming, the police again just showed up and said, okay, you can go back to America now. And their family just was all excited and started celebrating. Then one of those soldiers spoke up and told them, you can take 200 pounds with you. So imagine you've been living somewhere for a number of years, and you've got stuff. How many of you have stuff? Okay. 200 pounds. I think it was the wife who spoke up first and said, I've got to take this vase. Some of the kids, we can't leave these toys. The dad, well, what about my books? The new typewriter. Doesn't that sound like...
Yeah.
Okay, for sure. So they had scales, and they pulled their scales out. And can you imagine a whole family just going back and forth, trying to weigh stuff and keeping a record of it, tracking to get it down to 200 pounds? And finally they did. They had finally figured out, this is what we're going to take with us. Weigh 200 pounds. So they're just waiting. They don't know when. Eventually these soldiers come back again. And when the soldiers come in, they say, ready to go? Yes. Did you weigh everything? Yes. Did you weigh your kids? No, we didn't. The soldiers, weigh your kids. How many of us know that changes everything? It's Father's Day. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? If there is something I want to elevate today for every father in this room, every man in this room, every mother, every parent, every step-parent, everyone who has become like a parent to someone else or a grandparent to someone else, God help us to get back to elevating a relationship with God that's real and personal above anything and everything else. And especially as dads, let's do all we can to help make that happen. Amen.